Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today I am really happy to welcome back the always fun Adrienne Wilkinson. She's going to talk about, well, of course, Xena, because that's what she's best known for, but also Star Trek Renegades, Pretty the Series, Club 5150, Suspense and Nobility, and her project MOB. Welcome, Adrienne.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. That was a really great introduction. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you know I love you, so I'm just really happy you're here. Everybody should know you because you've been on the show a couple times, but just in case they don't know, please give a little introduction of yourself.
Sure. Well, like you said, I sort of got my start, and perhaps I'm best known for playing Livia and Eve, the daughter of Xena Warrior Princess. But I've gone on to lots of other projects, including a lot of things that are also sort of sci-fi fantasy based. I played Maris Brood, the female Jedi, in Star Wars The Force Unleashed. And just last month, my latest project, Star Trek Renegades, came out, in which I played Captain Lexa Singh. So lots of stuff going on, but those are sort of the highlights.
I'm so excited that you're in Star Trek. I mean, I saw that, the part you put on your page, and I was so excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I get to see the entire series. It's so cool.
I'm
How do you
excited
feel
about
it.
I mean, you know, well, it's a mystery. You know, we sort of are still trying to figure out what's going to happen to it. It started out as a feature-length pilot that we hoped would go to CBS. My understanding is there was some really pretty intense interest from CBS, but for a variety of reasons, it's not something they can pursue quite yet. So it was put out on the web earlier this month and had a really spectacular, I think better even than any of us had hoped, a really spectacular welcoming from the public. Our official channel has, I think, a little over 500,000 views, but it was also one of the most pirated movies in the world for the entire month, which is hilarious since you can watch it for free on YouTube. But anyway,
just pirating something you can see for nothing. That's crazy.
I know. I find it really funny as well, but, you know, to each their own, and we're certainly happy that eyes are seeing it. And now it looks like in the interim, the next step is that the production team is hoping to put together some additional episodes. So a possibility of 12 total, but I know that they're sort of working out all of those details. And my understanding is that starting, I think, around October, they're going to be fundraising and looking for investors, and that will include things like Kickstarter, but also other types of investing, and just looking to raise enough money to properly shoot, I guess, 11 more episodes, or at least, you know, to start the process. I'm sure they would continue fundraising. They don't have to raise all of that money up front. But anyway, that's sort of where we're at. And, you know, I'm not really privy to all of those behind-the-scenes details, but what I will say is that I loved playing Lexa Singh. I was incredibly excited to have the chance to play the character and to really build a character and explore who she is and what her motivations are. And I'm incredibly pleased with what we came up with, and I would be really excited to continue to explore her and all of the potential Star Trek stories.
I think it's fascinating that you're playing Khan's daughter, Kirk's arch enemy's daughter, as a captain of a starship. That's just amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there to explore. That's one of the coolest parts of the character. It's also one of the most mysterious parts of the character, because the show actually takes place about 10 or 12 years after Voyager. Mm-hmm. So the way I am a direct descendant of Khan, but he was, for instance, not around to actually, you know, I wasn't sitting on his knee or anything. It was a bit more scientific in terms of our genealogy. But yeah, I'm really interested in it. The great part about that, in addition to just the cool history, is that it means that Lexa is endowed with this sort of superhuman strength, and she's you know, she's just a little bit more than human on several levels. She, you know, is incredibly fun to play because you're, you know, your boundaries are sort of, you know, they go farther than most people. So she's potentially smarter. She's stronger. She fights better. She's, you know, she's one of those characters where when you initially see her, you may not be incredibly intimidated, but you realize very quickly that you should be because she is a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely. I think that's interesting because I don't know if you ever saw the original Star Trek because Ricardo Montalban played the original Khan in both the TV show and the movie.
Right.
He was supposed to be genetically engineered, and his descendant is years later genetically engineered. I think that's really an interesting, very science fiction take on it.
Right.
That they're doing that and they're continuing that is so cool. But you also work with classic people from the original series like Walter Koenig. What was that like?
Walter's the best. I've actually been lucky now to work with Walter twice. And, you know, Walter is just such a professional in terms of he's just worked so much that very little flusters him. He's a really incredible stage actor. He's got a lot of theater experience. And he's also very good about, you know, sort of filling the space in a way that sometimes other actors aren't quite as comfortable doing. So, you know, he just has a sense of, I mean, how do I put this? Because it's a combination. Working with him is great because it's such an honor and it's such an inspiration and there's so much sort of gravitas that comes with him, particularly when he's reprising his role in Star Trek. But at the mm-hmm. same time, Walter, the person, is just this mischievous elf. You know? He's just always cracking jokes and always having a good time. And, you know, he really raises the level of the set in terms of just making people feel good. You know, he's always there with a joke. He's always there to make sure that everybody is, you know, feeling good and that the set is remaining a comfortable place. And, you know, I adore him. I just love him so much. So I'm incredibly lucky to have gotten to work with him twice so far.
I had the honor of meeting him at a charity event. He's the nicest man, very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really liked him. We have a lot of Xena fans listening right now. How do you feel about the announcement of a Xena movie, but without Lucy Renee?
Well, I mean, listen, the feelings are wide and varied. I mean, first of all, you know, we all sort of don't believe anything until we actually see it. So even though
sure.
there's been an announcement, I don't think any of us are holding our breath that anything's going to happen. But should it happen, of course, we're epically disappointed that they would choose to go in a new direction instead of revisiting with the same cast, especially a cast that, you know, has remained so connected to
active.
Their fan base and, yeah, all of that. And for that matter, active, you know, it's not as if the cast is all retired. I mean, the majority of us are still, you know, actively working, and it seems like they're sort of missing an opportunity. But all of that said, I don't think any of us, you know, sadly, just based on how this whole process has been after the series ended, I don't think any of us had expected more than that. You know, we had all hoped it, but, you know, there's been so many opportunities for something to be done, and it just was never done. And so the writing had been sort of on the wall for us. So I guess what I'm saying is none of us were particularly surprised. So, you know, we still hope
I know that,
that
the fans are just so sad. And cause it wasn't. It was kind of the way that the studio chief put it. It was just kind of mean in a way. I don't know if you read his announcement. I was just like, okay.
You might have to paraphrase for me. I'm sure that I did, but I can't remember the exact verbiage at the moment.
He said, "Though we love Lucy, we can't see her ever being in the movie because she just won't fit into any kind of concept for the future of the film or something." I'm not quoting exactly, but that's basically
sure.
what he said. And I was like, I went,
well,
I was never one of those big gusto people, but I was kind of shocked.
Well, sure, but I think what's interesting is you might be taking it more personally than even Lucy would, because to me it sounds like when he says she wouldn't fit a future concept, what we have always heard, we meaning the cast, what we had always heard is that there's always been interest, but that the interest would be to do something entirely different. And if that's the case, it to me it feels less personal. So it would be one thing if they were trying to pick the series up from essentially where it left off and start new stories but just not include anyone from the past. That, I think, would be short-sighted and really frustrating. But the most reliable information that I've heard is that they want to set the – if they do something new, they want to set it completely differently. They want to make it either modern day or potentially even futuristic. They want to possibly set it in New York City, that they might possibly – you know, be using the sort of concept and idea of Vina, the sort of warrior nature of, you know, what that title is imbued with, but that, you know, they might be looking at someone who's like a 16-year-old girl. And when they put it like that, it's so far removed from what we all created together that, again, we all sort of just don't take it as personally. We would love to be involved, even in something so different. I think we would love to be involved, and I think there's a certain respect that the cast and the fans would appreciate by being included in some way. But I get it. I mean, I get that they're looking to do something entirely different. I mean, you know, every venture, every television show, every movie is a creative process, and creatively it sounds like they want to go in a different direction. And, you know, it's disappointing and, you know, all of that. I mean, you know, there's a long list of adjectives I could use that, you know, that all sort of end up with the same feeling, which is that the cast is disappointed that we, at this point, it looks like we wouldn't be included, but we also understand it. You know, it's just sort of the nature of the beast of the creative process. So we could take it personally and be upset, or we could, you know, wish them well and hope that the name continues in some successful way that furthers the, you know, what we had all worked so hard to build.
Yeah, makes sense. From what you were describing, it made me think of Percy Jackson, like a female Percy Jackson. Is that what they're thinking?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, these are things I'm not particularly privy to. I'm certainly not getting any behind-the-scenes information. But I'm just saying, in what I've read, it just sounds like the reboot will be entirely different. And it would be impossible for me to compare it to other projects. I'm just saying that I'm confident it would be different from what we had put together. And that makes it, at least for me, it makes it sting a little bit less.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me. That does. This is a totally different question. You have been in major fandoms. You have been in Star Trek. You have been in Star Wars, and you have been in Xena. The concepts of each of them are very, very different, but the love of the fans is extremely strong since we're discussing that. How do you deal with all of that affection just pouring at you?
Fandom is an interesting thing. I'm grateful for it every day. I mean, the fact that anybody is interested in my work or supportive of my projects, I mean, that's amazing, and I'm incredibly grateful. But I've always, from the very first day I started this process of, you know, jumping into this career, I've also always understood, you know, you try to not take it personally, whether that's good or bad. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's that really fantastic quote that goes something like, what you think of me is none of my business. And I think that's incredibly important for actors to remember, because, you know, you get so many, there's the risk of, you know, actors feeling too important. That's kind of a rough way to put it, but still, you know, sort of feeling too important because they have this love of the fans, when what the fans love is so much beyond you. You know, they're loving this collaboration that it took so many people to put together. So it's not something that, you know, as an actor, you can take full credit for. You know, you're talking about, you owe credit to the writers, to the creators, to the directors, to the wardrobe department and the makeup and hair department. And, you know, just all of that works together to create this thing that people fall in love with. It's a really collaborative effort. So it's not just one person, despite, you know, I mean, granted, you certainly take responsibility for your performance, but my point is, whatever your performance is, it's always also bigger than you. Now, it's the flip side of that is also true, is that, you know, my job is to do the very best work that I can do. So whether people love it or not, it shouldn't, I can't allow that to affect me, because that would just undermine me in, you know, regardless of which direction it went, where my job is just to do the best that I can do and to play as honestly and as truthfully and, you know, create as much depth as I possibly can, given everything at my fingertips. So, you know, it's one of those things where I appreciate it so much, especially in this day and age where it's so hard to get eyes on new projects. So I'm incredibly grateful every single moment of every single day that anyone is interested and that they are supportive of what myself and my fellow artists are creating. But I also just remember that I have to I have to give it respect and not take it too personally, because it's always mm-hmm. so much more beyond me. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a funny thing, because it can feel very personal, but it also, you know, it also takes a village. so it's really sort of a collective thing.
Yeah, because the words coming out of your mouth isn't you, and the you know, the clothes, the hair, the makeup, the weaponry, the stunt people, the set decorators, they all come together to make this amazing thing. It's so beautiful.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, that's why I got into the business. I have an absolute love for collaboration, and nothing excites me more than when everyone is working together to create something incredible. And what I love about it is that without every piece of it, it wouldn't work. You know, if my performance isn't good, everybody looks bad. But equally, my performance can be great, but if I look ridiculous, or if the sound isn't working, or if, you know, it just, there's so many variables that would then undermine the performance. So it's, you know, it all works together. It's a puzzle that's the only way it works, to have all of it working together.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the things I listen to, and I see something like the Emmys that was just on this weekend, I listen for people that are thinking, that don't just thank their management team, but they thank the writers and the director and the people who make the show. I get kind of annoyed when I like to thank my agent and my management team, and they don't talk about the people who created your character.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah,
that's so important.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you know, I always have a little bit of sympathy for everyone that goes up. I mean, I'm a firm believer that anyone who's up for an award should have a speech ready, because that's an incredible platform that you have, and you should be able to use it, you know, to the best of your ability. But equally, you know, it's an incredibly adrenaline-filled moment, and it's truly a moment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's 30 seconds if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can also see the pressure of that, and I try to have some sympathy if someone seems to be not saying ideally what they would like to be saying. But anyway, yes, I agree entirely. It's collaborative and deserves to be acknowledged.
Yeah. Oh, well, I actually interviewed someone who won an Emmy, and he said it was like floating above yourself during that, because you're just so out-of-body experience when you're on stage. You don't even feel like you're there.
Wow.
So I do have sympathy. I do have deep sympathy for them, especially considering that. But I just, the writing and the directing are so important. Thank those people.
Right, exactly.
that's my own thing. You've done a lot of work lately. You did Pretty the Series, and you did Nobility, and you've got stuff coming up like Club 5150 and Suspense. Do you want to talk about those shows?
Sure. I'd love to touch on all of them. I was really lucky this year. I got to do a lot of comedy. I mean, I think I did 5 comedy projects this past year, which I really love, but I just hadn't had the chance to do much comedy in the past. But Pretty, the series, is this ridiculous web series that takes place in the world of pageants. Even worse, it takes place in the world of toddler beauty pageants. For the first 3 seasons, the main character, played by Stacey McQueen, she's a woman in her 30s who was playing the role of a 5-year-old in one of these toddler pageants. So with that being the beginning, you can imagine how hilarious it was. And I joined for season 4. Season 4 actually jumped forward in time. So I am now a grown-up pageant queen, and Stacey also plays a grown-up version of herself. And the two of us have competing dance studios. So, you know, we sort of have this, our competitive edge from our pageant days has never left. And, you know, just the, sort of the hijinks ensue. I mean, I'm married to her ex-husband, and we're, you know, just all of our students are competitive and just all of those things. So it makes for kind of a ridiculous situation. The series was written, directed, created by Steve Silverman. And he also is the writer, director, creator of Club 5150, which I filmed just last month, and it looks like it will be premiering in November. And this series, I am so excited about it. It seems, I mean, we just had the most extraordinary time creating it. For those who aren't familiar, a 5150 is when someone can put you on a 72-hour hold if they fear for your mental health. And I play a therapist who has been called to a house where the husband thinks his wife, there's the possibility she may hurt herself. So I play the therapist, and unfortunately, this is my very first 5150, and I'm incredibly inept, but I'm trying to suss out the situation and decide what needs to be done. And the really extraordinary thing about this project is it's so funny, really broad, kind of over-the-top comedy, but it's magically paired with these incredibly emotional scenes. So it's a real roller coaster, but in the most beautiful sense of the word, and I'm incredibly excited about it. And I actually think my understanding is that today the very first teaser trailer comes out. So it hasn't been posted yet, but I assume it will be posted at any moment, and I will certainly share that around, and I'm excited to see it. I've heard only good things from everyone who's been involved in post-production, so I'm excited about it.
Where will it be seen once it comes out?
It will be. It's also a web series, and because it's from the same creator, I believe that if you go to prettytheseries.com, that actually has all of his programming. So I think he's got like maybe 6 different shows that he's filmed at this point. But yeah, so they might also do a Club 5150 website, but I know you can find it at prettytheseries.com. And Suspense is actually a radio show I've been involved with for a couple of years. It is it's basically an old-time radio series. It's similar in style to The Twilight Zone. We have different actors every week. We have different every episode is a completely different story, different cast, different setting. But they all have that sort of Twilight Zone feel where at least one person dies a terrible, grisly death in every episode. So it's very dramatic and very fun to do. And, you know, there's been a couple of episodes set in space, but most of them are set, you know, all of them have a sort of 1960s or earlier feel. So you'll have, you know, sort of the noir episodes that feel, you know, very much filled with femme fatales and murder and mystery. Or you'll have like an old-time soap opera, or you'll have episodes that truly feel like they could have been or should have been episodes of The Twilight Zone. But Suspense right now airs on audible.com, and it also airs on something like 270 radio stations around the world. So the best thing to do is to just sort of search online and you can find it. It airs on 6 continents. So it's available, but it's just a little bit tricky to find. Most of the time it's airing on like NPR type stations. So it's worth it though. It's an absolute hoot. And I should also say the majority of the episodes, once they have aired on the radio, once they've premiered, they're also put on YouTube. So you can find them on YouTube as well.
Wow. I'm doing a radio series, so I have to ask, do you enjoy it? I mean, radio acting is so different from acting in any other form. How do you feel?
Well, clearly I love it, or I wouldn't still be doing it. I mean, I've
of
done
course.
More episodes than any other woman on the show. We've done, I think, like 62 episodes at this point, and I've done about half of them myself, and I've recruited all kinds of my, you know, practically anyone I've worked with, I've hit them up to come in, and so it's usually a matter of scheduling, but we've had really spectacular casts. So that sort of also makes it fun, is to try to, you know, figure out whose voices you're hearing before they're actually, you know, before the cast list is announced at the very tail end of the episode. But I love it, and to me it was an easy fit because I do quite a bit of voice work. So, you know, to me it's very similar. The only difference is this particular style of show is sort of extra over the top. Like, there's a little bit of drama where, you know, most of the voice work I do is sort of grounded in modern day reality, so it's a little more subtle. But really, that's about the only difference. I just think it's a hoot. I mean, you know, it doesn't take us very long to film episodes, and they're always, you know, ridiculous. I mean, I think I've died probably 17 times now, and I've probably killed people 17 times. So, you know, it makes for a fun recording session.
Do you get a play against type because it's radio?
Yeah, that's actually also one of the things that I like about voice work in general, is that I get to play characters that I would never have the chance to be seen for in regular life, whether it's age or type or because it's a creature or, you know, just anything like that. And, I mean, at this point, you practically can't think of a type that I haven't played, from, you know, ingenues to, you know, these crazy over-the-top femme fatales to, you know, just needy housewives in the 1950s to, you know, pyromaniacs and, like, anything you can think of. I mean, you know, we try to come up with really interesting ways that people die. And I should say our series is actually based on, it's a revival of the series from the 60s of the same name, mm-hmm. that was actually the most popular radio show at the time. But, you know, we've got maybe 25% of our episodes, we recycle them with just, you know, minor tweaks to make sure they fit a modern audience. But the rest are, you know, created by the writer, John Alstead, and he very much understands that type of writing. And we've come up with just hilarious things where I honestly don't know where he comes up with so many concepts. Like, you know, you would think the well would have run dry by now, but he's just constantly finding new things for us to explore, and it's a lot of fun.
That's so cool. Yeah, suspense has been around for a long time. I think it was reconceived in the 60s, but it was originally in the 30s. My mom and my dad talked about it.
That's exactly right. And there was a small period of time, which I think was actually in the mid-60s, where it was also on television for a while.
Yeah. I think it was on, I forgot what they called it, but it was live television. When they moved to California, and it was like a Playhouse 90 kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
But it was during when TV was fun, when Twilight Zone was on, and, you know, all those different shows, and it was different era.
Very true.
Now, I want to talk about something close to your heart. Your special project, MOB. I'm saying that specifically because I want you to explain your whole concept. And
oh, sure.
Let the audience know about it.
Well, thanks for asking about it. It's very sweet. I have a little web series called From the Mouths of Babes. We call it The Mob, or MOB for short. And it's basically a three-question impromptu interview series. At this point, I've interviewed probably close to 300 celebrities. These are very short, you know, easy interviews. They usually last, you know, like 30 seconds to a minute. And because I don't tell anyone the questions ahead of time, everyone gets the same question, but they don't get time to think about it. So it's their uncensored, immediate answers, which can be really amazing. They can be hilarious. They can be shocking. They can be just endearing or unexpected, but they're really just, you know, always entertaining and just a lot of fun. And I have the episodes edited together by subject and by cast. So the month of September, since it was the 20th anniversary for Xena, all of the mob eps are Xena focused. So we will have three of our main episodes, which means each of the three questions gets the full treatment, meaning it includes the answers from every Xena cast member I've been able to interview for the series, which I think at this point is like 15 people or something. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And then also we have the individual clips listed. In the episodes, of course, the clips are generally edited down to make sure they can all fit into an episode. But we also include the full unedited clips for everyone to see. So last fall I was able to interview Lucy. So we've redone the episodes that should now include Lucy Lawless. And, you know, as expected, she's hilarious and, you know.
I thought.
So. Yeah, well, exactly. She's so funny. And honestly, you haven't even seen it all yet because we have all three full episodes to put out. And she's just a riot. She's always funny and, you know, always bordering on inappropriate, which is amazing and fabulous. So yeah, it's great. I hope everyone will check it out. We have a YouTube channel. So just search From the Mouths of Babes and you'll find us. Or fromthemouthsofbabes.net is our official website that has all of the full episodes on it.
It's so much fun. I mean, when you go on that, don't just, if you're a Xena fan, watch all the Xena stuff that she's putting up, but watch all of them because they're all amazing.
Oh, thank you. It really is an extraordinary project just to hear what people say. And, you know, it's all, you know, it's generally sort of, you know, off the top of your head life advice. So it's really inspirational, generally speaking. I mean, sometimes it's just hilarious, but most of the answers are really inspirational and just sort of, you know, add some real value to your day. So I hope that everyone will, you know, take 5 minutes and just go watch a couple of the episodes and see what you think. I mean, most of the, even the fully edited episodes where I have, you know, maybe 20 women that are women in sci-fi or, you know, voiceover actors or whatever it is. Even those episodes, you know, we cut them down so they're only like 3 minutes long. It's just the very best of the best of the interviews, which means, you know, you get a really big bang for your buck. So I hope everybody will check it out because I think it really is worth the time.
It's so much fun. I love this. It's a great idea. What inspired you to start it?
You know, the truth is I was looking for a project to do when I was on set that didn't take much time. Because on set, for anyone who's familiar with being on set, there's so much downtime. But it's also not relaxing downtime. You know, it's time where at any second you have to be able to be called back and be focused enough to deliver. So what I mean by that is there's a lot of stuff that you really can't do on set because it's just simply too distracting. You know, for me, I love to read. I'm an obsessive reader. But I don't really like to read that because it takes me out of what I need to be focused on. Like, it's just a little too distracting for me to dive into this other world when I'm supposed to be focused on, you know, the particular scenes that we're shooting. So the nice part about this project is not only is it a way to sort of connect on set, but it's really short. I mean, most of the interviews, like I said, take, you know, less than 3 minutes start to finish. So it's a nice way to be able to do something creative on set, but something that, you know, isn't completely distracting for either for myself or the other people that I'm interviewing. So, you know, that's kind of how it was created.
That's really fun. The questions come to you? Okay, this month I'm going to do this kind of a question. Or where do you get the questions? Do you ask your fans to submit, or how do you come
Not
up with
at all. Well, the thing is, it's literally the same three questions for the entire length of the series, and I've been doing this now for like 3 years. So the great part about it is, I mean, it's incredibly easy and they can all be edited together seamlessly. I started out asking like 6 or 7 questions that I had come up with and just trying to see which ones seemed to be the best in terms of off-the-cuff answers, you know, things that are really immediate, what works best. And these were the three questions that within, you know, just a couple of interviews, I realized that these were the ones that sort of came up with the most powerful immediate answers. So those are the three I've stuck with this entire time.
Were you ever stunned by some of the answers?
Oh, I think always. I'm always surprised. you know, that's a consistent thing for sure. You know, the answers are, you know, they're surprising because sometimes, you know, the people that you think that you expect because of their personality or because they're comedians or something, you expect them to give really silly answers that are not very deep. And sometimes they give the most incredibly deep answers that are just really beautiful and kind of stunning off the top of your head. So that's always surprising and wonderful. What I love about the project is it's so immediate that I could interview somebody at noon and then, you know, I could interview them at 4 p.m. and their answers would be totally different. So the other thing that's really interesting about the project is that it's incorporating exactly what the person is feeling at that moment. So it's, you know, it's very telling about what might be happening in their lives or what is on their mind or, you know, just what sort of things they're currently exploring. And, you know, that kind of thing is really incredible. And I honestly don't think I've had two people really say the same thing ever. I mean, the only thing that is consistent is people will, I could have an entire episode of just people saying stuff like, oh, you don't want to ask me about that. I don't know what to say, you know, and then they'll say something and it'll be incredibly beautiful and amazing. And, you know, that's what I'm excited about. Oh, Sherry, are you still there?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can.
Can you hear
Hi,
me?
Sherry.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. My phone went wacko. I do apologize.
Uh-oh. That's okay.
I had I was actually asking you something, but I had technical difficulties myself. What I wanted to know is we don't have a lot of time, so I wanted to know about any kind of events or any kind of things that you have coming up.
Oh, you know, we don't need a lot of time because I'm sort of in between stuff right now. In terms of personal appearances, the next thing I have scheduled is in January, which I think is Miami. But everybody can go to adrianwilkinson.com to check that stuff out. And that kind of stuff changes on, you know, very quickly. So that's the very best place to go. And they can follow all my stuff online, my Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. But in addition to that, I have one project I can't talk about yet that I'm incredibly excited about. It's a little film that's happening that I want to say so much and I just can't.
Well, that must be so hard for you.
Well, it is. You know, it's the funny thing about being an actor is that the time you're meant to talk about something is the last time you're really thinking about it because, you know, you're usually talking about it after it's been released, and that's like 2 years after you did it. but yeah, all I would ask is that everyone just, you know, follows me online because that will keep them up to date about everything. I have several projects that are debuting this fall, and you know, we'll have some new exciting news for Renegades and, you know, just all kinds of stuff happening. So yes, just stay in touch and I will let you know everything as soon as I can.
I have a new question that I've been asking because I'm always curious about it. What is your greatest passion?
Oh, wow. That's a huge question, Sherry.
I know. You got 5 whole minutes, so go ahead, babe.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I don't know if greatest passion is exactly the way to describe this, but I will just say, you know, I think the purpose of life is connecting. And, you know, you strive to find a life where you're as connected as you can be to all the things that you want. And life is so terribly short. So, you know, it's really being discerning and incredibly honest with yourself about what truly lights you up. So that's, you know, connecting as deeply as you can with the people that you love and, you know, connecting with your passions so that you know what it is that you want to spend your life doing and connecting with your work in a way where it feeds you instead of drains you. And, you know, that's just something that I guess has really been on my mind lately. And I think, you know, I talked about it earlier about how important I find collaborating. And I think this is the exact same thing. So, you know, connecting and collaborating. So, I think that would
be beautiful. That's really beautiful. I believe that too. I think that we're here on this earth to connect with other people. I mean, good, bad, or indifferent, every connection means something. It pretty much shapes you. That's a really interesting one. I've had all kinds of different answers. I've just started asking it like about the last few months. And I love that one. I think that's my favorite so far.
Oh, great.
And the funny thing is when I ask this question, it always surprises me, the answer, because it always comes out different than what I expect. So I think it's a really interesting thing. Because you never know what people's passion is going to be, because it may not be what you're expecting. And like I said, so far, and I've only been doing it for a short time, it never is what you're expecting.
Right, exactly.
Well, we've come to the end. Thank you so much for being on my show. I so appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I mean, Sherry, it's always lovely to talk to you, and I really enjoyed being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And everybody check out Adrienne's website and her Facebook page. All her information will be on there, and it will also be on my blog on Friday. Thank you, Adrienne.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sherry. Have a great day.
You too. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.